For the second episode of Games UX, we're going to be talking about Destiny 2, which the gameplay was revealed today, the day we're recording this. To celebrate this, I'm getting together my fire team, the team that I have played hundreds of hours of Destiny 1 with.
Yes.
And we're going to all be talking about our experience with Destiny 1 and what that means for Destiny 2, as well as our reactions to what we saw today. So with that being said, I'll introduce you to Clay Baca, aka Clay Tornator, Clay Hauser, as well as Stinky Carb Mr. Jeff Schaefer. How are you guys doing?
What up?
Great.
Glad to be here on your show, Charlie.
It's more comfortable than I could have possibly imagined. I really appreciate you guys doing this. Okay, so number one, we'll talk a little bit about our dynamics. I'd like to talk about like games we were playing before. Like, you guys have a longer probably gaming history together, and then some of the games we played all together. So you guys went to college together and probably gamed together there, right?
We came up in Halo and were playing LAN parties with Counter-Strike and Halo throughout college, freshman, sophomore year. So that was where Clay and I did the most of our damage together.
I'd say Halo 2, we really stepped it up. That was amazing. And yeah, the LAN parties, those were crazy. Lots of tournaments and just battle royales.
I think Clay probably sunk a lot of single player time in Metroid Prime.
Yeah, Metroid Prime.
Resident Evil 4. Yep.
So I had heard a lot about these LAN parties and whatnot. I was temporarily out of the video game scene for a period of time here for whatever reason. Then Jeff and I were living together.
You were busy becoming a rock star.
I was doing other things. And I was living with you, Jeff. And every night from your room, which was next to me, I would hear pew pew noises
and profanities, and
screaming, and it was after maybe about a year of living together or something, I decided, wait, maybe video games are still for me. I had felt like intimidated by games, like the three-dimensional games were kind of like, they seemed like too much, and you were like, buy an Xbox 360.
Yep. I remember you had a like Nintendo DS, and that's all your existence in video game world was. And it just felt like I couldn't connect to you because that's all you had, and that you weren't into the world that I was in. And I'm glad that forcing us to live in close proximity allowed you to see the joy that I could experience, and you brought, you know, I brought you into that world.
Yeah, I think a little bit of it was like, one is like I had nostalgia on my side. I grew up with Nintendo and stuff like that. I never had a PlayStation 1 or 2, and therefore I didn't realize what had happened to games or like how to like, or what was going on in the world of games. And Xbox 360 is where I got involved again with more contemporary style game development, and you introduced me to a bunch of games, and we all started playing together soon thereafter. And I think probably the first game we were really playing together was probably Call of Duty Zombies from
Call of Duty was that?
Yeah. It was Black Ops 1, I'm pretty sure, right?
Correct. It was Black Ops.
Black Ops. And that's where we started playing Zombies together, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we dumped a lot of hours into that.
that was being played religiously. Like, we would be playing that every other day.
Yeah.
No, it was like almost every night, I'm pretty sure. For
a pretty intense period of time, yeah.
Amazing.
So that was kind of like my intro to multiplayer and like cooperative multiplayer at that, horde modes type of stuff. Then you guys introduced me to Battlefield. What number was that we started playing? 2?
Battlefield 2 was first. Yeah, and that was on the Xbox 360 still.
And so that was a little bit more, I think, like in the realm of these type of games. And I've always felt like amongst the three of us, like the one who is the most naive. My skills are not that of your levels. So I felt like you've been, what was that word? Like, you guys have like taken me.
No, we haven't been coddling you. No.
My
issue with Charlie in first person shooters is his natural tendency to go, oh, I'll just play as the sniper character and hang out in the back. when Clay and I would be like, let's go break some shit and get in the front of it. And Charlie would just be sitting somewhere and then die and then get upset. And that was like the end of it.
That is definitely the way I played
right
for a long time.
A long time. And it wasn't until like, really, I think Destiny and made Mass Effect, really kind of Mass Effect multiplayer, I think, when we got into that.
Yeah,
you were like, this is a whole new world, and I can be in the front and not have to sit back and be afraid of getting into things.
Right. So enter Destiny. Right. We were looking for a new game. We played Black Ops, whatever, 3 with the zombies and stuff like that.
We played Battlefield 4. That was short.
We were like feeling games, but we weren't. Nothing was like had our hearts. And then I don't know who started it. Who was like the first person who mentioned Destiny?
I definitely pre-ordered it.
I heard about it through
you guys started it because I didn't get into it. Yeah. I didn't get into it.
You leveled your Titan like 100 classes in like a day.
I
leveled it to max in like 2 days. And I didn't sleep very well those 2 nights, but it was definitely worth it because the next day I was like, hey guys, what's up? Right. Let's do some strikes. And you guys are like, what? How are you max level?
Okay, it's coming back to me. Jeff, you definitely told me about Destiny. You're like, this is the one. And I was like, really? It kind of like looks like Mass Effect, just like not a good story or something. I had no idea what the game actually was because I first of all have never played a massive multiplayer game in any way. So I didn't know what we were getting involved with. I didn't know that it was like all of the RPG elements and stuff were going to be there either. We started playing. I loved it. Clay, you got on board. You leveled up super fast. And then all of a sudden we went into like what I would say is the beginning of of us becoming a fire team. And we were just like pushing together. And we didn't really know what was ahead. I didn't know what was ahead. I didn't realize what strikes were going to be. I didn't realize what the raids were going to mean to us. Like, I didn't realize that the multiplayer was going to become like something that I loved. I mean, like, you know, PvP, I was exploring, I felt.
I mean, you definitely took off with PvP, which I did not expect because first off, if you're standing in the background and you're the one that's being the sniper, like we found in Battlefield, PvP is in your face. It's gruesome. It's annoying. It's enraging. That's the reason why people rage quit is PvP. So when you got into that and you were into trials, for God's sakes, that kind of took me back and I was like, what?
That's like a testament. That's a testament to Destiny, right? Like it gets you comfortable with the circumstances by like it kept me with you guys. We're like going and we're doing strikes together and I'm feeling more and more comfortable. And then it's like, oh, well, there's this whole other area called like the Crucible. Like, what does that do? And then we go in there and at first I'm like, oh, well, this is like way out of my league. But it's like, I pretty much know how to play the game now. So let's see what we can do here. And then before I knew it, I did love PvP, maybe more than even the strikes for periods of time.
Yeah, there was an area there where we kind of had our groove and our zone, right? But then there was also like uncharted territory, you know, the big raids where maybe we would go, you know, we don't know 6 to 10 people who play, you know, like we play when we play. So it was very hard for us to get a group of guys together and do a raid. So we'd have to get like randos or whatever, or join a clan that was already playing. And then they were using terminology that we had no idea what was happening. So it was clearly that was the awakening of this next level of gaming that I had never been privy to. Like my personal gaming with you guys was just that. It never was this large scale, massively coordinated, using, you know, terminology to point out places on a map. Like that was the next level for me. And I had always wanted to go there. And to this day, I'm excited about the possibilities of what this next game could be. But really, that's where my golden ticket lies. Like, I want to get to that level.
And yeah, Clay, you had this history of like, wow. And I think you brought a lot of your like raid knowledge to us and showed us how it...
I didn't actually I took that for granted kind of because I've been playing, I played World of Warcraft for 10 years. And in college, I think, Jeff, you asked me a couple times about the game, but we never
right. No, I knew nothing of that world. And the only thing that I really, that caught my ear was when you were like, yeah, I got a character who's worth $500 and I'm going to sell him. I'm like, what? You sell him right now if you can get $500 for an imaginary whatever. But just that whole nother world of cooperative play was beyond anything that I had known.
It's so engrossing and intense because you're dealing with other teammates and you're obviously relying on them to follow orders, if you will, or follow whatever you know your best judgment is. The cooperativeness that has to go into that is insane. And if it pulls off and you actually get it done, it's like the best reward ever. And that's,
well, I will say, Clay, there is something about your style of play that's unlike mine, and not so much Charlie, because Charlie, you do go more into storyline than I do, but like, I had nothing to do with things like Grimlore cards. Like, that's just a whole nother level of ridiculousness and following like the nuances of the storyline, but I can appreciate it. I think it's like, you know, beyond my desire. I know that with you on the squad, you would have that background of knowledge to be like, oh yeah, this is the gun that was forged in the river of whatever. All right, that's cool. Let's move on. You know, but it's cool that you have that capacity and that desire to want to know that depth of story, whereas I'm more, who's the next guy we got to kill?
Yeah, and I really like the story, and that kind of gets me excited about what I'm doing and what I'm playing, and then it gets me excited to be like, okay, guys, this is the next boss. Jeff, I need you to kill him and beat him to a bloody pulp. And then we go forward.
I think to the pain points of Destiny 1. I think, Jeff, you touched on this. One is like, we had trouble finding a group of six to do the raids. Like, we're three people already. And like, we just really got to pair up with other ones. We used all sorts of things like Facebook groups.
PlayStation's Facebook groups. And then we also used, there was an app.
I thought there was an app. I swear there was, but
no.
We did not have good luck. It was very painful.
This is how it works.
It should not be that painful.
We send a request to join. We go into the group of whatever guys waiting, and then the clan goes, oh, you don't have max light or new weapon or whatever, you're out, and they kick us out.
Have you done this raid before? No? Yeah. Okay,
so it's like, how do you do the raid the first time? Like, that's basically where we were at a lot of the time. That being said, though, we did play every single raid except for the last one.
The last one, right.
Yeah. I played it solo, and I failed miserably.
I didn't know that. That's great.
But like, think about like the lanterns in the Crota raid, right? How much time we spent trying to like chain those lanterns, but the enjoyment that we got out of it.
Oh, when, my like, God.
We would find a group of people who would essentially just walk us through that, you know, because we were either under, you know, powered or we didn't know the path. But
just lost.
Just a little side note on that. Now that I'm thinking about it, it always blew my mind when an update would be released or a new raid would be released. And literally like that day, people knew every single little trick and nuance. Like there's so much to these raids, and that people are like, nope, you got to turn left here, go right, duck down. And literally it was released like yesterday, and they already have this ability to understand how this thing is laid out. It's crazy.
They were like, just like the first people to complete a raid. Like that blows my mind to this day that like there is a first team to like actually complete the raid. Like, and they do it fast too.
Right.
Yeah. It takes tons of coordination, and you got to get your strategy down, and there's a lot of dying involved, and you got to just kind of wing it and go in and map it out. And once you get your bearings, then you go the next step, which is, okay, so how do we actually do this correctly and quickly? People spend hours on, you know, in that one day, just making sure that they map everything out, they get it all done.
But that's to say, like, it's not like a dev is like giving out a secret of like where the button is. Like, they're literally like walking down a wall of a map, like pressing X repeatedly until they find the thing, right?
Yes. It's grinding to the point
nuts.
Where they can't see straight. Yep.
Anyway,
so, that being said, like,
it's all for the glory.
We actually encountered some people along the way that were extremely helpful, right? Like, right. Remember there was that one dude from like England who we played with?
Guy. Yep.
Like things like that were amazing, where we would actually make little friendships with people and they would like help us and like yep. contribute, and they were patient. Those moments like actually inspired me in general that like people are good. Like,
yep.
Okay, so here, one next final real question about Destiny 1 before we move into the new stuff. What was your guys' favorite moments from like our experiences in Destiny 1? I'll start just to give you some more time to think of something. Although we've talked about me enjoying PvP and stuff like that. Oh, ooh, wow. I got two moments. I already broke the question. Number one was just straight up playing Crota's End. Once we learned to like kind of cheese it and we'd get like sometimes only four or five people to play it, and just we were doing it pretty often for a while. That was great. I had a ton of fun playing Crota's End because it was still super challenging and we had to use all of these like raid mechanics, but normally we could pull it off with like four or five people, so it didn't feel like we always needed that fire team of six.
Yeah.
And number two was the time that we did Iron Banner, and it was Rift. And I'm just like, I just like that one particularly because I found something that I was actually good at in Iron Banner, which was just running. I could always run the thing. And that felt amazing to finally find something that like in Iron Banner that I was good at.
mine would have to be every single thing about the Vault of Glass. And specifically just getting into it, the first time the thing opens in the beginning after you do the sync plates, and you just kind of fall, like you fall down, like through the, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I could remember just laughing hysterically to myself going, this is the most ridiculous map ever. And then kind of second to that would be like Charlie and his character not being able to jump. Like we would just be waiting and like minutes would go by and then like 15 minutes would go by and then like the rest of the fire team would just get pissed that he keeps dying. That's just great.
I play as a hunter just so everyone understands that.
It's guy, like, yeah. He's got no hops.
It's partially my skill and partially the character.
There's a lot of platform the combination jumping of the two after the confluxes.
It's terrible. Yeah. That brings me right into my favorite moment is definitely Vault of Glass. That raid is just awesome.
That's cool.
There so many mechanics. That's actually what raiding feels like, at least in my experience with raiding. And I have to give a little bit of credit to Charlie when you were doing your jumps on those pieces. We could just watch for days you just dropping.
Yeah, it's true.
It was. I mean, we could probably do 30 minutes of it just straight of you falling because things, it's just not working for hunters. It doesn't work. So I feel bad for all hunter classes in general. The other one is the Oryx raid. That one, when I finally finished that one all the way through, that was a very difficult raid. And it was different because it wasn't like Vault of Glass where it was a challenge to actually get the mechanics down. In Oryx, it was just a challenge to survive in that one because there's so much damage at the end. But it was, I like that expansion the most. And so that one really hit home with me because I was, I don't know if I, did we beat that one or did me and Charlie, I don't remember if it was with me.
The first time it wasn't with us. Either way. I did that one with another group.
It must have been with Charlie, or maybe you had to drop out and we did it and we finished it after you left.
I think I finished it.
I don't know.
I don't remember, but it was
excellent.
I would also like to add the moment that I decrypted an exotic Engram and got my Galahorn, like my original year one Galahorn, and I screamed and my wife, her mother and father were in like the kitchen and they were concerned that something had happened and I couldn't explain to them my joy that I was experiencing because I realized in the moment like, oh, it's just a video game and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I didn't care. I was like, this is so important and they don't get it, but I love that.
Nope.
A couple more little things I just thought of that I just want to mention. We had a ton of fun in Prison of Elders and Court of Oryx, both which were surprises essentially to us. Like they weren't part of the original game. They came out in later DLCs and gave us like another fun thing to do in the world, as well as Zur, surprising little thing that a shop guy, like a guy who you basically buy stuff from, who only comes during a certain time every week, what Friday night to like Sunday morning, right? Yeah. How amazing is it that they made a little thing like that fun? I love the process of going through the first couple of years of Destiny because new little things would come up along the way and you get excited about them. I think they did a great job of that.
Yeah, I think trying to find Zur on like a Friday before I actually decided just, you know what, I'm just going to look up and see where he's at. Logging on Fridays and being like, Zur's here. Where is he at? Mm-hmm. What has he got? And let's go find out.
Okay, so it's time. We played Destiny 1. We played it a lot. I think all three of us, like recently, just like as a little seg here, like we've been playing Overwatch together on PS4, mm-hmm. buying some time.
Yep, playing
one
right now.
Enjoying it. But I think all three of us are definitely, like before today, we're looking forward to Destiny 2. I want to get the rest of our pain points out of the way because I want to see if they address them. I know, Jeff, like you, I think, have been the most vocal about the grind.
The grind is a pain. I can't play the game as it is anymore because it's the grind. I'm waiting for this next game to rid me of this horrible issue.
I think the grind is all of the things that they've done to solve for it actually came back quite a bit here at the end because like we haven't done the last raid, right? Like we haven't like gotten to max light. And why is that? Because it's really just grind to the end now, right? Like there is that one more thing at the end, which is that final raid, but the grind is actually kept us from finishing the game.
But I mean, there were mistakes in that, right? Like epic armor becomes weak after time. Like there's things that happen as if you miss out, like if you don't play the game for a month, now people who are just starting can rank up faster than anyone else. Like consumables become useless. Shards, what are shards used for? Like there's so many things that were thrown into the mix that seemed to have importance at one point, but then, I understand that's the development of the game and how things change and different teams are putting effort into other stuff. But I just felt like in order to stay at that high level or to be able to do all the things in the game, you had to just consistently be playing and upgrading and upgrading.
You had to detonate the time.
I totally agree. In fact, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was like one weekend, I was like, hey guys, let's do trials this weekend, right? And both of you were like, and then we went into it and yeah, we're heavily under, we're like not at the same light level as everyone else. We haven't been playing every week. They just wrecked us over and over again. And it was a deeply unfun experience because we weren't at the level to compete with them at this point.
And it wasn't even like, I'm motivated to like get there. It's like, no, there's too far of a gap now. And I don't feel like we're good players. It's not like we don't have strategy. Like we're a good working team. It's just that our gear sucks. And it would take so many more hours to get to that level of gear. My biggest gripe.
Agreed. Clay, do you have any mega gripes with Destiny 1?
Raids. We can't raid.
Well,
it's impossible.
We just need to make friends.
It just doesn't work.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, we would, even without that, we would spend sometimes like 45 minutes to an hour or something like trying to pull a raid party together, and then it would still fall apart.
Yeah.
We'd spend 2 hours just trying to get it together, and then it never worked. I mean, we've done it over and over and over.
Did you guys have any gripes with PvP?
There could be unbalanced issues sometimes, stacking all 400s. Light level 400 versus our light level, which is, 360. I'm not going to win on a one-on-one fight. It's just not going to happen. I understand if there's only that level of players on at the time, but come on, that can't happen. It's not fun. The team with the higher light level is going to win every single time.
Okay, so if you haven't seen the Destiny 2 gameplay trailer, I'd go watch it right now. They did a hour-long presentation today where they showed like basically the first mission, the first story mission. As far as gameplay, I think that's all they actually showed. But then people played the game on PC. They played some PvP, a new PvP style, as well as they played a strike. And I think that's everything that everybody played today. But go check that stuff out first before you keep listening, just so you have like a context on all the stuff we're about to talk about. Okay, so yeah. Number one most probably interesting thing off the bat is they fixed the raid thing, probably, the matchmaking. It's guided games now.
Maybe. I mean, if I'm a single player and I want to join a clan or whatever that's playing, they could still bump me, right?
Correct, as far as I can tell, yeah.
Right. So like, what's to keep them from being like, this dude's new, we're not going to play with him, bump him, you know?
Right. I don't necessarily believe that this will solve it or be the right solution. In fact, when I saw the presentation, the first thing I saw was like, I just watched the video, so I might not get this right. But like each like clan that you could join had like a little descriptor, like they wrote something out about like what they were gonna do. I can imagine people just not even filling that stuff in or whatnot. I don't know. I hope they've solved to make these things work really well, but I like the idea of having it within the game. I think the idea of like letting people find parties to play with is within the game is the right direction. I think a lot of the same problems could be there still though, which is, yeah, like people just being like, you're not good enough, we bump you, or just like you, when you play a raid together, you have to be committed to the raid party. And that's like a pretty serious relationship. I was actually kind of expecting them to have like less people go into raids. And that's like the way they'd solve it. Like maybe like 4-person raids or something, right? Yeah.
Or to make like a 3-man raid.
Like, because some of the raid dynamics came to Strikes later on in Destiny 1. And that was pretty fun. I could imagine a 3-person raid would be like, hella fun. That's not the direction they went. They kept it as the 6-person teams, which is interesting because you get a lot of cool dynamics out of having 6 people playing at once. You can split them off into like 3 teams and have them each doing stuff in pairs. That's pretty cool. I understand why they kept the 6-person dynamic. We'll soon find out how the guided games matchmaking actually works, but it'd be cool if it did work and allowed us, like when there's 3 of us, to say like, hey, meet us up with another team of 3 and like, we'll just go for it. Maybe we'll meet some cool people and have a good time.
Yeah. I'm definitely trying to be optimistic about that because I'm hoping that that is the component that'll work the best in raiding. I really do. You know,
I just want it to work.
There really is nothing like the feeling of beating like a raid with a really coordinated team. I feel like we've all been in a situation where that has happened, where there's someone leading, we're calling out. But there's also got to be something where it's casual. Like if you just want to run around and like figure stuff out, like I just hope that there's a way to like communicate that, or
we just need the right person and the right clan. And I'm hoping that with it all being in the game, we can set up our clan and hopefully, I don't know who else is going to be joining us from our PlayStation network, whether it be any of the guys that we originally played with in Destiny 1. But if we can, I just want it to work, to be honest. And I hope it doesn't fail.
One cool thing was like, yeah, the clan seemed like you could just like have a bunch of people essentially join it, which is kind of cool because then maybe we'll start the clan. There'll be the 3 of us to start. Some stragglers will come along the way and maybe we'll build it up to be 6 or 9 people. And then over the course of time, oh, we're online, we're ready to play. And those 3 people who like to play with us because we've played together a couple times, like join in. And maybe we don't know them personally, but we just kind of build our Destiny relationship with them.
I'd like that. We'll have to see how it goes, but I don't really know how the clan, how well it's going to work.
I was really impressed though that they put someone out there on stage for 10 or 15 minutes that was just talking about social dynamics, right? Because that is critical to this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the game. It's the entirety of the game. Without it, like, this game is not fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm glad they paid attention to it. I did not expect them to come out with the clans, the guided games, and the ideas of putting multiple clans together. Not to mention, there's a reward system for the clan members.
Right.
And every single person in that clan.
Right.
So there's incentive.
Yeah, there's...
And everybody wins, and everything is supported in the game. So, I mean, that sounds...
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
No, yeah. But... I mean, it's a draw for me because, as you all know, it's ridiculously fun. And when you get a group of guys where it clicks... You know, it's a very complex, demanding encounter that is incredibly rewarding, you know?
Yeah.
Number 2, the one that I think I was most had on my mind through the whole presentation is, okay, we came into this knowing that all of our loot was going to be deleted. So my mind went to the space of, okay, if they're going to delete the loot, then the game's going to be like totally different, because why else would they do that? Why would they like get rid of our characters when they kind of hinted at before that, like we were going to carry these characters through, but this is like a break of that logic. So what would Bungie have needed to do? What did they want to do to the game that they decided to make this move? And I was surprised with what the explanation was today. The explanation was pretty much that starting over for loot is a good game dynamic, right? The game is remarkably similar to Destiny 1 from what I can tell. I didn't see any solid reason that the weapons or loot had to be refreshed. I didn't see anything today that said like that was necessary, other than the game dynamic of starting from nothing and building to something is interesting. And if that's the case, will Destiny 3 be like that too? Like, is that always going to be what Destiny is, or will there ever be this like continued progress?
It's interesting, because I almost feel like they just got rid of all the loot because the storyline broke the tower. And because of that, they're like, oh, loot's gone.
But it's not just loot, it's your light level. It's your light in general, like your light is gone. And they even made a reference, I think, in the video, if I'm remembering correctly. I was watching it while multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
But they said something to the effect of, you go out and you go to get your light back, or you start from scratch to find your light again, or something
along
those lines.
You lose your powers and your light and your weapons, literally everything. So it's basically
right.
Like anyone can start this game from the exact same position, whether you've sunk 500 hours into Destiny 1 or never heard of it.
That's just setting up the premise of grinding and leveling, right? Like,
correct.
It's all like you're effed either way. Like either you're playing with dudes who have all the best gear and it just continues over, or now they're going to spend 100 more hours than you're going to spend and get there, and it's going to be the same thing again.
Yeah, the notes I wrote down was that you lose your light level and that you stumble around basically because you're completely weakened, because the traveler apparently is being held hostage. Mm-hmm. The graphics look good. That's the side note, but a positive side note.
I mean,
there you go.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about graphics then. Because this brings up some interesting stuff. Number one, it seems like it supports 4K, right? That's about the only graphical difference I think that we're hearing on the console side. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
And the PS4 Pro supports it.
But I think it's pretty much sounds like it's still going to be 30 frames per second.
I think the textures in the background and the everything else but the character model, I didn't see a whole lot of improvement on the character model.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty much... I mean, like there was,
like
it looked more beautiful because like, I think they just put more effort into it and have gotten better at their techniques. But I think like across the board, felt like it looked fairly similar, or like there wasn't a huge improvement in technology here or anything. That is, except for what we've heard about PC, which is it could run 60 frames per second or higher at 4K.
Yeah, PC is going to look amazing.
Next topic, Crucible. They have changed it from 6v6 matches to 4v4. I didn't understand why. Like, I may be naive to this, but why would they do that?
I don't know. And I was trying to understand that when I was watching the videos.
When they described it seems so much like this is something that you want. But it's like, I've never heard anybody say, like, I want less people in PvP.
Is it Bungie's way of getting out of buying dedicated servers?
We figured
maybe.
It out.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, if I go back to like Quake days, like that's like arena shooters, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so there's history, right? Like, I think I read somewhere Halo was like a 4v4 type of situation, or am I wrong?
I don't remember.
Halo was
16.
Well, no, going back to Halo 1.
Oh, Halo 1. Halo 1 was 8 then.
It
was 4v4.
Well, I was trying to think of like tangible benefits for us. And for me, I was like, well, if it's 4v4, more than likely we can generally probably find a fourth player. And if we find a fourth player, then we are really like a team and we can really always be communicating and we don't have to worry about like a team chat or anything like that. We can just like have four people and communicate well. And that might make PvP more fun for us because it's more fun to really, you know, be talking while you're playing with a team on PvP.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I've always just liked PvP in bigger maps. You know?
Me too.
I get why making the maps, you know, and the team smaller, you know, there's benefits there. But I mean, I'm not calling for like battlefield size matches. I just I like the 12 to 16 scale that Halo was really successful with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they could make the map smaller, maybe they could potentially make more maps too. That might be like part of it. But yeah, I've always really liked the 6 versus 6 thing because it felt real busy. And the maps, I love the size of the maps in Destiny 1. They're like kind of big, but there was like a lot of room to like hide away.
It allowed you to have fun with like different styles of play, and there's different, you know, different types of chaos happening. Like if you wanted to run like a weird loadout and play the way that you like to play, there is a place in a 6v6 match for that. But 4v4 is more like trials in terms of like tactics and gear. Right.
You'll definitely have to be careful with your decisions in a 4v4 match because you have to play a vital role or, you know, your team's going to get wiped.
Like in early, like first year PvP Destiny, remember there were like maps that had vehicles and stuff on them? They were like pretty big maps. I saw a lot of people always asking for more stuff like that, like vehicles and PvP, so you get more of that battlefield vibe. But this seems like it's pretty much moving the opposite direction. So
I saw new vehicles in the trailer, but I did not see them in PvP.
No, I saw that. Did
anybody
tank
else see that? I saw the tank.
I kind of always wanted maybe like the bike. Destiny's PvP to be like Halo because I was, as I said, a fan of bigger team battles. But also with that came vehicles and like support classes.
You would think the team that made it would you know point in the right direction and be like, let's put some vehicles in here. We did it in Halo and it worked.
Okay, next one, weapon slots. So they changed the way the weapon system works. Before we had primary, secondary, and special, right? Now it is, I'm going to get the names wrong. The first one was like kinetic,
power. Energy, and power
so
weapon.
What I gather is the reasoning for this is I can have more different types of loadouts because I can use all of my guns in those first two slots, or like most of my guns in those first two slots. And then the only slot that seems to have special stuff is that third slot. Is that right?
No.
Oh, well then tell me how it works.
The energy weapon, which is the second slot, and the power weapon, when he was speaking, he was saying that those are kind of interchangeable. You can have two different energy weapons because an energy weapon is also considered a power weapon depending on the weapon. Like a fusion rifle is a power weapon, but it can also be put in the energy weapon slot. Yeah. The kinetic weapon is more like a handgun or actual like your primary weapon.
Cool. So like
So I believe that two of those different options are interchangeable. So you can have really weird loadouts like rocking two different types of shotguns and kind of go nuts with it, or rocking two different types of fusion rifles, one being a heavy fusion rifle that's more closer to the power weapon or something like that. A lot of machine guns. I saw that nonstop throughout all.
Did you notice how the machine guns had like a linear sort of like recoil? Like it was super controllable. And then the guy had the auto rifle and it was just spamming all over the place. Yeah. I was like, come on.
That doesn't make any sense. You should switch those right now.
Yeah. Let's talk about that lightning gun for a second. Did you see that one? It had like the craziest sound. It was like, wee.
Oh, was that was at the end or like when he was like reloading, it looks like out of something out of BioShock.
They showed it. The part that I'm talking about specifically was like you're moving through the tower and he would just like occasionally pull it out and it would just be like, ooh, I can't even make the noise, but it seemed like fun. I think
I knew what you're talking about.
So
that could be cool.
So there was also something that may be in line with that. They showed a Titan bubble made of ice.
Yes, they did.
It's like the barrier. So,
and the ice barrier to shoot like from cover, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so it provides cover.
Is ice
going to
be
cover.
Another power with Solar Void and Arc?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I laughed when I saw that ice bubble. I was like, okay, all right.
one other subtlety about the bubble is in the like story trailer beginning part, when he throws down the first bubble and the tower is being attacked, the bubble is actually being pushed back. I don't know if that's like a gameplay dynamic anymore, but wouldn't that be cool actually if the bubble actually could get like pushed from fire? Because like imagine being in the vault of glass type of scenario. You put the bubble down in the center, but as you get fire, it's actually moving the bubble. That's kind of like a cool dynamic.
That would be scary as hell.
Right, because it would push it off, right?
You would totally lose your bubble. And I was thinking the opposite, that the bubble travels with me. Mm. And so if that was the case and I happened to get knocked off, like, there goes the bubble. Oh, yeah. You guys are, you know, unprotected.
It's very Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, right? So that was kind of weird. I was going to say something. What was I going to say?
You were going to ask if Dinklebot was returning.
That's like the final thing. They're like, and Dinklebot's back.
Is that really, did they say that? Or is
No, I'm joking.
They're sticking with Nolatron?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. So Andrea, my wife, is a Destiny player, but she doesn't play so much in groups. She likes to play by herself. She's winning out big time with this game, it appears, because they've done a number... Well, first off, when you go to a planet, you can move effortlessly between patrols and strikes and different things that are on the planet without returning to orbit. I think that's just so cool. And it, I think, sings to like the original vision of Destiny, which is you go somewhere and start exploring and like get involved in stuff. That seems great.
Yeah.
I'm actually really happy with that. They said there's patrols, and the patrols are better and more organized. Mm-hmm. There's still public events. There's the new adventure mode, which is going to any place and finding an NPC that's already on that location, and they give you a quest or they give you some type of challenge or whatever. And I don't know if the adventure mode has like a mini boss or a boss at the end. But I know that they said that the Lost Sectors, which are the additional mode, which happens with Adventure Mode, has areas marked on the map where you have to take down a mini-boss. And I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome. That's better than public events because you know that something's going to happen there. We can just jump on and go after a bunch of mini-bosses, especially with that new map. If that new map is like... you can put your own points on or direct anything or do any type of interaction with it. That would be really cool.
The map is the next point, which is, I think, like, I've been playing Zelda Breath of the Wild for the past couple months now. And the one thing I love so much about Zelda is like how you unlock the map. This is like in a lot of games, but you unlock the map and there's stuff everywhere. And then you get to know that stuff and you can go back to it. I think I got a little bit of that vibe from what was revealed today. It feels like you kind of unlock the maps on these planets. And as you explore them, they're there for you in the future. And I really love that, like the completionist part of me, which isn't very strong, but is in there, is excited by that. Planets. We're going to Earth. That makes a lot of sense. There were some like moons of Jupiter and stuff in there. There were three essentially new planets. My question is, okay, I get new content. I understand how that works. Will we be able to go to the old planets in Destiny 2?
Just about to ask that.
They didn't say, right?
They did not. They said there's Titan, there's Io, and then there's one other one where the Vex are. Starts with an N, I think.
I don't remember.
Nessus or Ness, something like that. But they didn't say anything about anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would probably be weird if I could play content from Destiny 1 in Destiny 2, just on a technical level. Like, I don't know how they would package all that content in the new game and make it reasonable. That being said, it feels a little weird that like all of a sudden you can't go to Mars, right?
So, or you can't go to the moon.
Not to spin this a little bit, but why was the city not able to be destroyed all throughout like the first game? The Traveler was broken and the ghosts were the last defense, or the Guardians were the last defense. Like, why couldn't the Cabal or the God King Oryx or the son of Oryx or whatever it was, why weren't they able to like carpet bomb the place? And like, it just doesn't, like, all of a sudden it just stopped working. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't
know. Plot holes.
I hope we can go back to those other planets. That's what I just wanted to get at. But I was just thinking about that. Like, I know that this was like the last place the Traveler can still protect or whatever the line was when you first played.
Yeah. So then how did we lose it?
Yeah. But like, there was like orbital defenses that were deactivated. Like, there's a whole bunch of other shit that like, it didn't make any sense. And
why did they even say that too? No. Like, why did they tell us that the satellites have been destroyed?
Right.
Like, who cares? Like, we didn't even look for the satellites before.
Right.
Like, we've never even heard of them before. We didn't care.
story still seems abstract, right?
I'm more intrigued than I was on the first game. Yeah. I really am. I do feel ultimately like this is like a reset than a sequel, right? Like it feels like everybody's going to go back to zero. You know, everything's going to get balanced. All the light is gone. But I am very intrigued by the story. I'm super excited about cut sequences, like that they're going to be introducing more cinematic sequences. Like
more than they've ever done at Bungie. So that's more than Halo.
Yes, it's super pretty. I'm excited about that.
I think we all agree that The Taken King was probably our favorite story from Destiny 1, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this has a similar vibe to it, right? There's an enemy and you got to defeat the enemy. And I appreciate it when they keep the story simple like that on a core level, just so you can get like riled up. Like nothing was cooler than like that first time we saw Oryx and then we're like, oh, that's not even it. Like now we got to really fight Oryx and like there's a raid and like I like that. Okay. A few things about PC, like maybe we'll make this discussion both about what's happening, but also with us. We have played PS4 throughout. Well, that's our only option. We've played PS4 for the past 3 years. We are intending on playing PS4 for the next game. That being said, two of us have PCs. One of us does not have a PC, and there's some interesting developments with PC. First off, it's going to be available on battle.net, which I just love as an idea because I think of Destiny as the quality of game that should be on battle.net. With battle.net, you get some things for free. You get like in-game chat. You get in-game voice chat. You get like your friend list that's on battle.net. There's a lot of cool stuff that comes with that for free. So I think that was like a smart move. The PC version will look better and play better and have, you know, mouse and keyboard controls, which is pretty cool. That being said, I think of Destiny really as a casual game. And I've played Overwatch both now on PC and console. And I'm really enjoying playing it on console. Because there's just no screwing around. You just grab the thing, you turn it on, and you play. And I enjoy that. And I think we're going to play on PS4, but there are some tricks to it, right? Like, I have a 4K TV, but do I have to buy a PlayStation Pro to get that 4K resolution? I don't want to, and there's problems with that too. Like, my headset won't work with the PlayStation
4. I was assuming it doesn't matter. You're still locked at 30 frames.
Yeah, you're still locked at 30 frames. So it's not really like the biggest difference.
The resolution, maybe a little bit, but no, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the same PS4 and play this game. So that's a little weird, I guess. Yeah, I guess I wish there was some technical progress in the past 3 years, but I probably won't access it. The one thing I was hoping from today's conversation was that they were going to say like, oh, you start building up a character in Destiny 2, you could use it on different platforms, right? So like if there was a single character that I was building, but I could log into Destiny 2 on my PC and go play some PvP, but then also come back to PS4 and play some strikes.
It's a bummer. It's like a huge topic across all console. I wish they would just do it.
I don't want to play with people who are on other platforms. I just want to have a character that like works on any platform. Like
they'd have to do one. If they do one, they'd have to do both. You know what I mean?
Anyway, we're sticking with PS4, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay, good. I need that enthusiastic confidence.
Yes, sticking with PS4.
We're console players.
I do see what you're saying. It would be cool if, you know, like your character was saved to a server and you could like play PS4 with the group and then switch over to PC for solo or playing with randoms or just for whatever.
Right. Because like imagine like you spend, you know, let's in 2 years from now, right? Like let's say I've been playing my PS4 character and it's like, hey, I want to jump in and play PvP on the PC because I bought that edition as well. And I have to like go through the whole game to like level it up to that point. That's like a no-go. I'm not going to waste that time. But if you told me I could use that same character on PC, it's like, yeah, maybe I'll buy a second copy of the game because I want that flexibility in how I play. So interesting.
I would do that.
One more thing I had on my list was that there is now a new constant power you have. You have your two class powers, but there's also a third power, a charging power. I didn't really understand much about it from the stuff I watched. Do you have that in your notes, Clay?
Yeah, I was still confused. So I don't actually know. Do we retain our powers from Destiny 1? So I can still bubble? Or
I think we start over.
We don't have those. Why were they showing those after the...
Like, they were showing them in the first mission, which is like, you shouldn't
have
them.
That's what I'm saying. I'm confused. So I didn't understand that. But the three new ones that I don't really know if it's like a subclass or like a additional ability is there's the Arc Strider, which is for hunters. The Dawn Blade, which is, I don't know if they're class specific, but the Dawn Blade is for, at least what I saw, for Warlocks. And then there's the Sentinel, which is for Titans.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So those are definitely like subclass ones, I'm pretty sure. But there's also this stuff I read that is persistent powers that work no matter what subclass you have. So yeah. Like the Warlock one is like, I think you can throw a stake in the ground and anybody that's nearby the stake starts getting healed. So they're like not as powerful, but they're like these
that.
Like, I know, it's pretty cool.
It's crazy.
I'm reading about it now. It's a passive class ability. It sits alongside your grenade and melee.
What?
And it allows you to do certain attributes. Yeah.
That is a cool dynamic.
Yeah, that was like, I'm surprised they didn't focus on it more because I got really excited when I read that.
Why didn't they
that.
Say anything like that?
It might end up revealing stuff that they haven't revealed yet by like talking about it too much.
Got it.
Okay, what else we got? That's my whole list.
Multi-stage battle bosses.
Yes.
Yeah, that was on my note. I'm just so excited for what that becomes. I'm also really excited for, like, maybe this is going to change how I view grinding, but it seems like there's going to be more dynamic to exploring and finding, you know, just going to a map and in the group and finding little sub objectives and exploring those, and then stumbling across like public events that are now like
all over the place,
ranked higher. Yeah, like you could find the little things that are what was the term that they used, where it's something like you stumble across it and it starts the event, but it wasn't,
those are the
like,
lost
naturally
sectors.
Gonna happen. Yeah, it wasn't actually going to happen unless you found that area. So like you as a group can go and explore and you'll naturally come across events that are going to take place only because you found them.
And those lost sectors, that's what I was saying before, is there's a potential for you to find those multi-stage bosses at that location or when you've finished whatever that, you know, that area might be.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
What did they
that.
Say about Trials, Nightfall, and the Raid? Did they say there was actually like a looking for group feature?
They said that, but I don't think they showed it at all. So
I think on that, but I wasn't really sure what the heck they were talking about.
I think it basically means like if there's two of you and you want to do trials, you can get a third person through that guided. What's it called? Guided games.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't. They didn't go into that too deep. Okay. So we know all this stuff. Speculations. What have they not shown us? What do we think is still coming? The beta seems like it's going to come in summer.
Yeah.
Is what they said. Do you think they will show more at like E3 potentially? Or like, do you think we've seen... I was shocked today at how much we saw. It was a very full presentation with like a ton of stuff. I thought we were going to get like a third.
I thought they were just going to show the intro video and then talk the entire time. And then we'd be like, oh,
same.
Thank you for the playthrough that you told us we would see. But no, they did some... I mean, it was 40-60. It was 40% playthrough, 60% cutscenes. You know,
I would like to say that those dudes in that audience were ultimate fanboys.
Did you
like,
hear the Titan?
They were laughing. They were laughing at comments about obscure references that I went right over my head.
It was pretty nerdy.
It was really entertaining just to listen to them laugh at things that I didn't even know were jokes.
It was very.
Like everyone laughed at the like dude sweeping the floor, you know, as the tower. I was like, yeah, it's pretty funny, but you guys love this game.
That guy's so funny.
Clay, you got anything else?
We should be seeing a lot come out because the devs are playing the game.
They've been playing
right
it for a while,
right?
So like, yeah, it's got to be done.
Not just that, but I mean, I would, and they're also allowing people to test it on PC, right? Did you see that?
They had everybody in the crowd test it.
Well, I mean, like actual game reviewers who are writing articles about it now.
Probably.
So in the next couple of days, I'm assuming we're going to get a lot more from people who have hands-on experience with it, more than just at the reveal today.
IGN's all over it already. They've already got a fire chat going right now as we're talking, which is awesome. They're probably going to have a lot. Yeah, every single thing that is being talked about is about Destiny 2, actually.
Okay, so I saw some criticism online that like it was Destiny 1.5. My gut is that Destiny 1.5 already came out, and that's the thing we've been playing over the past 3 years as it progressed. This did feel like Destiny 2 to me. I was surprised that it wasn't as much of a leap forward as I thought it was going to be, but across the board, that was great news because I generally like Destiny 1 and I like the game mechanics of it. So I was happy that those pretty much have retained their, like the majority of that has retained to Destiny 2. This just seems like if it's like what they say it is, more story-driven content, more like natural flow between things that we'll be doing, better matchmaking. It's just like they basically did refine the elements of the game that were like most broken and then basically I think tried to produce a really like really good content that we'll like really love.
I agree. They've definitely fixed everything that was wrong with Destiny 1.
So am I bad to say that I'm looking forward to the fact that it looks like the same game?
No, I was actually
think
like it's like it's cleaner, it's prettier, and if they take care of a lot of these issues that I have, I'd be really happy. Like I'm also like I enjoy Destiny. I'm not going to poo-poo it. You know, I hate the grind, yeah, but like I enjoy playing the game. Yeah. And if they can improve on the storyline, improve on the balance and the gear and the leveling, you know, then sure, and matchmaking, right?
Yeah.
It's like a testament to Bungie, right? Like I was prepared for it to be more of a radical departure and I didn't get that, but that's okay because I really like the game that exists. This seems like a better version of it. And what their, I think, real agenda is just to make us comfortable and happy and keep playing, right? Like people play Destiny 1 a lot. And that's because it generally works for like our type of situation and the way we want to play games. Destiny 2 seems to improve on that. And they don't want to like scare us off, right? They want us over. We gave them 3 years of playing their game. They did the right thing, I think. I think it's like a good balance. Like, and with that, you've heard episode Destiny 2 of Games UX. thank you for listening. Thank you very much, Jeff and Clay, for hanging out and talking about this game. I think we should talk about it more, maybe again around the time of the beta. I think that'd be a cool
see what time comes to out.
Have another conversation about it.
Yep. Please no grind.
That'll be the ending. That's awesome.
September 8th.
Thanks for listening to the second episode of Games UX. Thanks again to Jeff and Clay for stopping by and talking about Destiny 2. You can follow along with the podcast on Twitter at games_UX. And also feel free to share the podcast with a friend who you think might be interested. Thanks a lot.